Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Today we are starting a new series, and the title of this series is We Are at War. We have been announcing this series for almost 5 months. Finally, we have landed and we are going to start. Now, I want you to know that we are making a progress and we are ascending as a church to the place where God wants us to be, as a church and as individual. So we are entering another phase where it's a season of equipping. What we're going to do in this series is going to be more of a practical life with the things you have gone through so far in the past 5 years. Whether it be the teachings on prayer, the teachings on anointing, the teachings on faith, the teachings on your relationship with the Holy Spirit, the foundations of the believer in terms of belief value system, these are things I've done so far. All these things is going to reflect in what we are about to do this series. The idea and why God is leading us to do this series, it was so prophetic to me when it came to me, and I found out that even this year's theme that our Father gave us in the Lord was about kingdom, power, and what? And glory. It so much reflects in that idea. So I want to plead with you that you be very active and involved with this journey. Hallelujah. And I'm here to establish one very kingdom reality with you. Are we on the same page? Okay, so as the custom is, we want to read our anchor scriptures. And our first scripture, which is going to open up to Acts, We Are at War, the series, is Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. We'll be reading all through to the verse 17. Oh, Father, thank you. We thank you, Father. We give you praise. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now, if you are using a hard copy Bible or you have a highlight on your Bible on your phone, I want you to highlight that place, that there was no place found for them in heaven any longer. It's going to be a repeated phrase in most of our dealings as far as warfare is concerned. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now this whole world is talking about was not our world. I want to do some small exegesis on this scripture. A world existed. If you read the book of 2 Peter, the Bible said that a former world which was what, destroyed by what? By water. There was a world that existed that Lucifer had control over. And what he did was that he was able to deceive them to join his act of what? War. But the Bible said he failed in that. Amen. So you should know that the specialty of the devil is deception. That has been his tool of trade. That has been his profession. He's good in deception. He will deceive you. Are you with me? So now let's follow on. Let's follow. He was cast to the earth. Look at this place. When he didn't find a place in heaven, where did they cast him to? Earth. It's a very interesting thing. Why did God cast him to the earth? We will follow. And his angels were cast out with him. So the devil was casted with his angels. He didn't come alone. He's in company. Now let's move on. So then I heard a voice saying in heaven, now, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. The one who was crying that he has been the accuser of our brethren. Verse next one. And they came and overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to what? The death. Are we done? Verse 17. Which verse are we now? Verse what? So we are going to verse 70. So fast, let's go. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Take note of that verse. He has a what? A short time. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and half a time, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth held the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon has spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who kept the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you see, when John was writing the book of Revelation, the church was under a serious persecution. And to be able to make sure that these very revelations that God has given him are kept from destruction, he used words that confuses readers to the point that they didn't see the understanding of what he was trying to say. So if you read the book of Revelation, you may see that there are certain things that are used. You get it? Representations. It was because of how the prophecy or the revelation will be kept. Are you on the same page? Now, the woman he's talking about here is the church. Are you following? Yeah, do you get it? It's the church. Now, that is not part of what we're going to do today, but I just want to show you how interesting the revelation. So when you're reading Revelation, you should know that it is a book that is having a lot of what? Metaphors. It's very metaphoric in nature. I hope you understand metaphor. You have done literature, right? If not, I'll just ask Elder Martin to come and teach us what metaphor, because he's a literature student. Amen. All right. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 to 14, our second reading. Today's service is going to be a service of history. We're going to do a lot of, storytelling. So just follow me. We're going to do, because the foundation of what we're going to do today is going to be more of storytelling. Amen. From the Bible. Amen. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 to 41, interesting scripture. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 to 14. Isaiah 14, 13, 14. Isaiah 14, 13, 14. Do you get it? Yeah. Good. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the verse 14. I will ascend above the height of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. The whole world, as we continue, you find out that it is just because of one thing. Most High. That title. That's what brought about the whole world. You understand? Amen. Our last reading, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. We're going to read together. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Let's go. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Now I want you to pay attention. First, you're going to understand the wall. Before we can understand, we can take part or know what we are doing, it is very important that we understand what exactly we are getting ourselves involved. In fact, you are already involved. Okay? So you have to have understanding about it. So I believe that the first thing that each of us need here is to understand the war that we are involved, because we are all at this war. Are we on the same page? And the first message I want to talk about is the origin of the war. And the Bible says that the war started where? In heaven. So today we are going to build our understanding on the where or how the world started. Are we on the same page? That's why it's going to be storytelling. Now, as we go along on this series, I'll be establishing certain natural principles of life that reflect and explain to us the matters of what war. Today, let's start with one. Do you know that war, in the natural dimensions of human, is a survival instinct? Do you know that? Okay, let's look at it. One of the things that completely shapes the life of an individual are things that the individual exposed to and trained with. I hope you all agree with that. If you live and grew up in a hostile environment, your life is shaped in line with the hostility that comes with it. Also, if you live and grew up in a friendly environment, your life is practically shaped in line with the friendliness that comes with that environment. That is why people who are brought up or live in hostile environments are characterized with violence and harsh living conditions, behave in a particular manner. And those from friendly environment have different set of behaviors. There is a difference between a Shaman boy and East Legon boy. If you meet somebody who was born and bred in Ashaman, okay, grew up in Ashaman, or Choco, okay, okay, mention some of the place. Lashibi is part, right? Nima, Kwe, Jamestown. You want it to be. This guy, he wants to find trouble for me. Hallelujah. You see that the condition of life over there, the environment there, affect their behavior, how they see things, how they understand things. Life is interpreted according to the environment they found themselves. So those who grew up or live in those harsh weather conditions or harsh conditions of life, they understand certain things, or the way they understand things is different from those who live in the soft ones, friendly ones. Are you on the same page? Good. Hence, human behaviors or way of life is not far from the environment they come from or where they live in. Why am I saying this? When you see somebody acting and behaving, the person is just telling you the kind of environment the person is coming from. And I believe that the current environment we are creating in the church and the kind of people that are coming out of the church is not a reflection of what the kingdom of God is. And one of the things is that we are raising people as if there is nothing like warfare. Our lifestyle and behavior does not reflect people who are into warfare. The average Christian now fear witches more than they fear God. Oh, you don't know? The average believer fears a witch more than he or she fears God. Because we have been raised in an environment where we have not been exposed. And that is a danger. So one of the reasons why we want to look into the matters of warfare is that we have to understand the environment we find ourselves. Even though I mentioned a place like Ashaman, yes, still there are people in Ashaman who doesn't know what the hard life is in Ashaman. They've not carried water on their head before. Okay? They have not walked through the night market of Ashaman. I have a little knowledge of Ashaman, okay? They have not passed through Zenu. You know Zenu? How many of you know Zenu? Have you heard of Zenu? Good. You don't know it. As he said, Kaswa. You have not been there yet. There are some of them who are there. Because the thing is, they have been shielded, they have been protected. Like the environment created for them makes them things. But one day, when they get to the senior high school, because they didn't go through that hard life and they are coming home, one day they will get missing. And then they will realize that, oh, things are different here. I don't want you to get there. So now let's look at something. By nature, okay, the natural man's immediate environment, which we are exposed to, where we call it world, is subject to seasons and times. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. The Bible said that to everything there is time, and to what? Everything under this earth is what? There is what? Okay. To everything there is what? A season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Now go to the verse 8 and listen. Now when Solomon was writing this book, he was talking about things that pertain to the natural man. Okay. And I'm going to show you why we're going to have issues in Ghana here in Africa when certain things come up. A time to what? Love, the verse 8. And a time to what? Hate. See, there is a time in your life where you have to hate. What you have to hate is different, but there's a time for hatred. As a believer, there's a time for us to hate, and what we hate is sin. So when it is time for you to hate sin and you love sin, you are working against time and season. Do you get it? You are working against time and season. And what did he say there? A time of what? War and a time of peace. So by nature, according to the studies of the wisest man before Jesus, in interpreting the realities of nature, he said that there are certain cycles of life that everybody would come through what we call the time of war. So naturally, we are expected to be worked on to have the understanding of what? War. Now, one thing I like about the accounts is how they capture everything in Proverbs. There is something they call Obrai Okun. Have you heard it? You come there. Therefore, what is war? When the wisdom of God expressing itself upon Solomon says that there is a season, a time of war, what is that concept war? Now, let's look at what war is by definition. War is a state of active conflict between two or more groups. Active what? Conflict. Usually, nations, kingdoms, tribes, or organized what? Powers. Where there is intentional use, listen to the word, intentional use of force to achieve dominance, control, or defense. Anytime you use force intentionally to achieve dominance, to dominate somewhere, to have control over something, okay, and to what? Defend yourself. What you have done is that you have engaged war. Hence, whatever anyone desires to seek dominance or control or defend themselves, the only mechanism possible is war. Now, this is it. One truth of life is that there is going to be a season where you'll be exposed to hostile environments and where you will need to use force to achieve dominance, control, defend yourself. One truth of life. I'm talking about natural life. I've not even come to the spiritual aspect. People commit suicide because they couldn't control their environment. Everybody here, at one point of their life, you need to exert force to be able to attain what? Dominance. You need to what? Exert force to be able to control your immediate environment. Because somebody is trying to force you out. Have you ever fought over a dormitory bed before? You have to use force. Because life has a season at a point where things will not operate as how you expect it. So to keep things... And have you ever defended yourself before? Self-defense is not a sin. And whenever you have to mount defense, it means that you are applying the principles of what? War. Now, let's come into this. You find out that not just that the Bible recognizes us as natural men. The Bible also recognizes something called the spiritual man. Have you ever read that scripture before? To be carnally minded is what? Is dead. But to be spiritual minded is what? Life. Now, the spiritual man is a person who is conscious of spiritual environment. So I just spoke about natural environment. That even in the natural environment, our natural instinct of survival, and these things I mentioned are act of survival. Control, defense, dominance. This is an act of survival. What you don't control will control you. What you don't dominate, what? Will dominate you. And what you don't defend yourself against will defeat you. Is that not the truth? That is why when you go to nations like Israel and places like developed countries, one of the things that they teach the young people as part of their training is military ought defense or military ought knowledge. It's only in Ghana that we don't do national service. If you go to a country like US, if I'm right, your national service is that you'll be enrolled in the military for 1 year. Is that not the truth? In the US. South Korea, actually, yeah. South Korea. Everybody, even if you're a footballer, you will do it. Nobody exempts it. Why do they do that? The idea is that they must teach you one practical thing. How to defend yourself. Self-defense. How? In terms, so when such countries are exposed to warfare, they have no fear because, you know, at least everybody in that what country has knowledge of how to what defend themselves. So it's a survival instinct of every natural being to learn how to control. Are you with me? How to dominate and how to what defend. These things, when you engage them, you are in an act of what? War. What about the spirit man? The Bible recognizes the place for a spirit man. It's only the believer who thinks that spirituality has nothing to do with warfare. Many Christians think so. But I'm going to show you that spirituality has to do with warfare. Now, the spirit man, as I said, is any person who is conscious of the spiritual environment and transact business in that environment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. Why you need to understand the world we have is because you are a spiritual person. And in your course of doing that, now but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually what? Discerned. That is a spiritual man. He discerns what? His or her environment. Able to discern it. The natural man cannot do that. Now, the consciousness of the environment is that the person is not blind to spiritual activities such as angelic and demonic what influence. So let's say somebody is a spiritual person. We are talking of somebody who has full knowledge of the work of angelic and demonic what influence. The person knows it. The person is not ignorant to it. Secondly, the person can operate, engage, and carry out assignment in the invisible dimension, such as what? Navigating visions, dreams, revelations, using spiritual resources, powers to do all kinds of things in the realms of the spirit. The Bible says such a person discerns the things of the spirit. Now, if the natural environment, are you following me, demands that man must learn to what? Defend. Dominate. So that he will not be dominated. Control the immediate environment. What would the spiritual environment say? Now, the spiritual environment, I'm going to talk about what the Christian must know. I'm going to tell you 6 things. From the teachings of scriptures, especially in the New Testament, you will find out that the Bible recognizes the realities of war through certain projections and teachings that has been done in the New Testament. Number one, the Bible recognizes that there's an active, ongoing war that the spiritual man is actively involved, such that such a spiritual man must be what? Constantly prepared for it in what way? Number one. So if you look into the New Testament teachings, you will find out that the spiritual man is always called on to constant what? Preparation for that spiritual reality called warfare. And how is that person called to that warfare? Number one, being fully armed in his or her armor. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13. If there was no warfare, or there's no ongoing warfare, why would the Bible spend time to talk about armor and being armed in armor? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, what the Bible says? Therefore, take up the whole armor of what? Of God. Did you hear that? Take up the whole armor of what? Oh, church, are you with me? The whole armor of what? What do we use armor for? That you may be able to what? Withstand in what? The evil what? Day. And having done all, to what? Stand. When you research scripture, what the Bible is trying to tell you, that as a spiritual person, there exists an environment that could be hostile to you, that you need to dominate. You need to have control over. Are you with me? You need to defend yourself. And for that matter, you need what it takes to be caught constantly alert for it. So you see that the believer is constantly prepared. So you see that this whole thing is to prepare you for what? Because before you go to war, you must be what? Clothed. Is that not so? In the clothing, we know that you are prepared for what? For war. So the believer must learn to wear and use the armor. David said that I cannot fight him in this uniform because I have not tested it. Now, if you read that verse, it talks about the armor of what? God that the believer must what? Put on. When you come to church and then we are praying, we are teaching how to use scriptures, praying in the spirit, doing all these things. We are training you in your armor so that you can be able to what? Let's look at some of the armor. Let's go there. It said, above what? Taking the shield of what? Faith. So the teachings of faith and all that we are doing is that we are helping you to put on an armor and God training it, prepare you so that on the day of war, when you come into that season of war spiritually, you can be what? You can be able to prevail. Which you will be able to quench all the fiery what? Darts of the wicked one. So anybody who is faithless, that is a believer who has not put on the armor of faith, that person is exposed to what? Darts. Because I said fiery dart when it hits you. See, that is the one thing that hits you, and then you forget that Christ exists. You don't know. You know that there can be a situation that can hit a believer. That situation is the day that the person will not believe in Jesus again. When you see somebody exposed to the realities of life, where the person has said that I'll not go to church again, I don't believe in Jesus again, this Christian thing is over between us, there's a fiery dart that hit the person. The faith was not well done. So the reason why I spent quality time to teach you on the things that are most surely believed by us, building you from that foundation to all the knowledge you need in faith, is because you need to be armed. One day, arrows will be shot. Fiery darts are coming. If you survive, one of these days, Edna, we're talking, I said something to her. She was talking about how Accra is treating her. And the things she was going through in Accra. But she always said that, but the grace of God, I'm able to survive. Then I just laughed in my head and said, this is a person who has been armed in faith. Because the things she has gone through, if she doesn't have faith, she'll stop church. The reason why some people cannot let go of their job for 2 hours to be in church, 2 hours, is because they don't have the armor of faith. The enemy has shot something at them. Oh. Something has been shot at them that they know that there's a difference between reality and theory. You have not met it. So the spiritual man, if not conscious of the things that can dominate him, demobilize him to lose control of him or herself and defend himself, that person is exposed. That's why we need to know warfare. So the Bible has never been silent on the realities of warfare. He has taught the spiritual person. Hallelujah. So one of the way the Bible was careful in speaking about it is that he teaches the believer or the spiritual person constant preparation for it. That is number one, being full. Number two, being ready for active combat at any time or any day. The Bible was so specific that the active combat. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer from victory unto victory. His army shall heal thee till every foe is vanquished. And Christ is Lord. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer. victory,
from victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed.
You thought that hymn was written to just make you sing and then be marching in the school, right? That hymn was written to remind you that you should be constantly prepared as a believer for warfare. Active combat. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. So you see that the teachings, the Bible has never been silent or not, the matters of warfare as a spiritual person. So you see, it said, you therefore must endure hardship as what? A good soldier of war. What did the verse was? Oh, so you didn't know that you're a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please he who enlist him as what? A soldier. That said, you are enlisted as a soldier. So if you sit here, you act like a civilian. Are you serious with your life? You have to see, you have to understand that the Bible is so clear about the matters of warfare. So one thing that every believer must be conscious of is that your life is like a soldier man. I wish Eunice was here to tell you some of the things she has gone through. That's all. Soldier. So the one who is enlisted has no time to entangle himself with the things of what? Life of this. No. See, the reason why you can't do certain things because it's not right or wrong is because of your where you belong, who you have become, what you have been exposed to. No matter what, even if a soldier is in a civilian uniform, has a pistol, it doesn't matter where they are, they have it on them, ready to shoot. You see, they wear and have you ever been to the barracks before? You see, when they come, see how they behave. They see you like trees. I don't know if you ever seen a military action before. I witnessed one on this Tema motorway road. There was this truck driver who was driving carelessly on the road. And you know, these military people, they are very disciplined that when they are in their lane, they are in the, even on the road, they are in, on their lane. No matter what, they will never switch lanes. And they were moving. We were behind them. And this truck was just misbehaving like that. Then this private car just took off and blocked him. Four men came out, fully armed. First thing, slap. We call the resetting. The reset agenda. So you receive it warm. Oh, my head name. Then the second one is me pacho. Mean that the reset has what? Has worked. If it was a policeman, they will not be slapped. They'll talk. Even he can even argue with him. Do you get it? But the military man, they are raised with do before complain, like their way of behavior. He said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You cannot do everything because of the exposure. You are a soldier. So you have been prepared all the time for warfare. The next one. Apart from being constantly prepared for warfare, another thing in Bible that the teachings of the Bible has been very clear with in informing the spiritual person is that the spiritual person must always be alert that there is war. Being alert that there is war. Two things I'll give you there. Number one, in this alertness, the Bible has been actively clear on expectancy of an active adversary. In the very words of our spiritual father, that you said, if you have a personal savior, you have a personal enemy. Oh, me, I've not offended the devil, so you're not coming and do anything to me. You're not serious with your life. You are not serious. You don't know what you're talking about. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Bible is being clear in instructing the believer to be alert of warfare because there's the adversary is talking about the person who you are out against with. Your enemy, the one who is looking for you to destroy you. Now listen to it. Be sober and be what? Vigilant. That's alert. What is it? Because your adversary, your specific, He's a devil. He's what? The devil. Walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who you may what? Devour. So if a believer lives their life of no vigilance, that believer has no understanding of realities of war. Your vigilance, your way and manner. What is vigilance? Means that you are careful, extremely careful in what you do. You are careful in what you say. You are careful in what you eat. You are careful at where you go. You are vigilant. The Bible didn't say prayer covers everything. It said be vigilant and sober. Because at some point, prayer, you see, the realities of prayer is that it's also aligned to obedience. So in the absence of vigilance, prayer will not cover for you. You will pay the price. So Bible has been very realistic on the fact that there is warfare and there is an adversary, active adversary, roaring, moving about, looking for the person he roars. 2nd one. Another thing that the Bible was not quiet on was that there is constant device of the adversary. He said, we are not ignorant. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. One of the alertness that scriptures has given us as being aware of warfare is that he said there are constant out devices. If you are here and don't know the devil is setting traps for you, he's planning something for you. You see, if you don't know the update systems and whatever, you are not serious. You don't understand the warfare. You heard what is going on at Iran and US. Do you know that each of them are setting themselves traps? There are surveillances and then all kinds of things looking for to explore. Read it. I said, lest Satan should take advantage. Read the word advantage. Who is Satan to us? He's our adversary, right? Advantage means that he has gained an upper hand over you in the warfare. How do you? For we are not what? Ignorant of his what? Devices. War. Devices, he is talking about strategies of the devil to win against you. The question is, how many of the strategies do you know? To us, we think that all the strategies of the devil are evil. No. There are good strategies. One of the testimonies of Pastor Arumi is that the first time he had an open door to go and preach in Europe, he went to God and he was praying, thank you, Lord, for opening doors. He said, "Eh, me? I didn't open this door." I said, "Ah, God." I said, "Do you think I'm the only one who opens door?" I said, "The devil has opened the door for you. Preaching appointment, though." He said, "God says I'm not the one. You think everything good is from God? Are you forgetting that when he came to Jesus, he didn't offer him evil; he offered him good things. What did he offer him? He said the entire earth, riches of the world. Ah." So if right now I come to you right now and I said, oh, the way your life is, I want to change your destiny. Changing of this destiny, I'm talking about Benz and then Range Rover and all the things you can talk about. You have servants who cook for you. Oh, Jesus. You don't know soft life. You don't know it. So as I'm saying it, you have not seen soft life. The devil can use that as a device. He's not a Christian, but he's giving you soft life. He doesn't insult. He will not beat you. Yes. Oh, baby, then it is babying. You go for holiday at the Maldives. Sister, where else again? The other place you mentioned for me the other time. Good. You have gone beyond Dubai. Every 3 months, you don't wear the same cloth than they say for one occasion. Every day, new bags, designer ones are coming. Sister, but he doesn't go to church. He doesn't believe in this Christ thing. I know your prayer will be that, oh, I can't change you. But you don't realize that it could be the device of the devil. So the Bible says that we are constantly, least Satan should take. See, it is advantage to make sure that he finish you. He finish you. It's an advantage. So the believer is always on constant alert, so that the devices of the devil, because there's war, everybody will use what is best strategy for him. Dude, I will be telling stories. There was one strategy America used to win a particular war. Because of time, I'll tell you another time. Those people are smart. America does not win war with only combat. They use money too. Do you know how America kicked out Russia from Middle East? Do you know how they did it? Money. Russia was their fierce enemy. They were all fighting over oil. The oil, that they were all fighting over it. And the American devised a right way. How did they do it? They gave them money. Give them anything they need. And the people defeated their enemies. Sometimes the devil, all he needs is use money. You come there. You. I'm just laying foundation. Some of you, scholarship to UK was all the devil needed to get you. He doesn't need it. Does the devil need scholarship to study at where? He doesn't need it. But he can offer it to you. So when he says that you are making too much noise, you are disturbing him. You can be a threat. You offer that scholarship when you go there. Then he gains advantage. So I'm not saying that people should not travel and go. But the thing is, I said you should be vigilant. Because this war, anything can be used. We are at war. Anything can be used. Everybody's looking for what is his advantage. We are at war. So anything. Because if he allows you, right, Elder Bismarck, the destiny that God has given this young man is that he can be able to win 200,000 souls, take them from his kingdom of darkness, and bring them to the marvelous light. You. And you're going to train a lot of them to come after him. If it's going to cost him just scholarship to have that, to silence you, why wouldn't he use it? No, one thing that the Bible calls the devil, he says he's a wise one. He's a wise one. That is why when anything comes, the Bible says it should be good and perfect. For all good and what? The perfect is the aligning with the will of God. In the book of Romans, said that thou will know the perfect will. So when the good thing comes, the only way to know that it is not one of the devices of the evil one trying to take advantage of us in the war is that we find the perfection in it. Oh, we are at war. The last one. You're already enjoying the warfare message, right? We will win this war. Now, the third thing that the Bible was very key about concerning the spiritual man and his spiritual environment was that because of the existence of warfare, the believer is equipped. The believer is first of all equipped with weapons that he needs to prevail in battlefield. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare. It was not intentional that Paul mentioned that there are weapons. The believer has weapons for this warfare. So there are a lot of things that you have gone through, we have taught you, that it will build weapons, weaponize you against what? The war you are dealing with. They are not carnal weapons. For you to prevail spiritually, you must have knowledge, you must be equipped. Say, for the weapons of our warfare, so it means that you have to have it. The weapons of your warfare, they are not carnal, they are mighty. So you need to be equipped. Equip means that you have been given everything that can, as far as weapons are concerned. I hope you heard the story of Russia and Ukraine war. How the Ukraine president was moving to Europe and US and other places because he needs to be equipped to face Russia. And in some point, American soldiers must go to Ukraine to train them in the use of the what? Equip them in the use of what? The weapons they gave them. The drones and everything. The believer also is equipped with weapons. So whenever we are asking you to pray, the prayer you are praying is you are being equipped with weapons. Weapons come along with it. Hallelujah. Yeah, it comes along with it. Another one. We are equipped with the knowledge of how the believer can take cover under God's protection. In the course of learning how to fight and prevail in the warfare. Another thing that we are equipped with is, you see, when you are going for war or when there is war, one of the things that is important is how you take coverage as the warfare is going on. You don't make yourself too exposed. You can be in your armor, do you understand? But your position in attack can make you exposed and you can be hurt. Are we all there? So you see that if you watch most of these documentaries of warfare, some would dug a deep trench, do you understand? Most of the things they do is to take cover. Now, do you know that the Bible, even Jesus himself said this, made it explicitly clear that the believer has a covering as far as he's in this world to deal with warfare. Let's read it. The book of John chapter 17 verse 15. So, understanding the war is built on this. These things I'm talking about is the whole warfare thing we're going to talk about is here. It stands on these three things I've mentioned. Being equipped, being alert, and constantly prepared. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. That is the battlefield. God didn't pray that you be taken out. What did he say? But that you should keep them from the evil one. That word here, keep them, is talking about that covering of God, that thing that God has given you. The Bible calls it that 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but none shall come near thee. The question is, have you learned, have you received the equipping to take advantage of that? The reason why destruction can fall at a place and some believers can escape is because they have been equipped on how to take covering. The Bible said the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous must run. Do you know how to run? Do you get it? The righteous runneth unto him and his what? He's safe. Towers are advantageous place to be to what? Win war. So the reason why the Bible has been constantly mentioning some of these things is because he wants us to be aware that there is what? Warfare. And this warfare, the reason why you are a partaker is because the kingdom you belong to, as far as your kingdom can advance, it must be war. A scripture that most of us has read over and over. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12. What did the Bible say? And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the one who announced the kingdom of God, that it has come. You know, to John the Baptist, the kingdom of God didn't come. Theology teaches that the concept of the kingdom was made manifest in the appearance of John. He started preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is what? At hand. The Bible also had its own kingdom. About the kingdom of what? Darkness. The Bible says that what? The kingdom of heaven suffers what? Violence. The violence here is talking about what? War. So the day that the kingdom was announced, even on this earth, that day, the advancement of that kingdom, the church, it was exposed to violence. They killed John. They killed him. Violence. Then what did he say? And the violent take it by what? There is no place, as far as you want to establish the kingdom of God, that you take it free. It is force. And what did I define war to be? War is what? Using an intentional force to what? Dominate, defend, or take control. So the kingdom you have subscribed to, it only advances on the terms of what? War. When Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace, he meant this. Hallelujah. Are you on the same page? So what we are coming to do this period is because we are at war as a spiritual people. We need to be what? Prepared, alert, and equipped. And that is what God is going to help us. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. We will listen. Now, let's talk about the origin of the world, the storytelling. Why is it that our life is subjected to violence? The kingdom of God suffered violence. Why are we at war? What led to all this thing? In the Chronicles of Apostle John, in the book of Revelation chapter 12, he made us understand where the war started from and how it traveled into the earth realm, which was captured in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, which is the impact of the war. The reason why the war started is simple. Okay, before I come to this, let's do it where the war started from. Because if I say the reason, you may not. So let's look at it. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Let's read. And war broke out in where? In heaven. Michael and his angels what? Fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels what? Fought. This was a revelation of what happened in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Let's read Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Now when war happens, what becomes of the place? Let's look at it. Now in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, read carefully. The Bible said, in the beginning God created what? Heaven and earth. After that, nothing was said about heaven again. Did you realize? Now the focus came on what? On earth. What became the definition of the earth? The earth was without what? Form and void. And darkness was on the face of what? The deep. Let's end it there. Now, in the law of creation, why this scripture never makes sense is because in the law of creation, the material content that is used to create something, what is created out of it cannot reveal anything different from that. What do I mean? This is made out of cotton, right? Is that not so? If I want to test for the characteristics of cotton, if I have this, I can be able to check it, right? This one cannot reveal the characteristics of what? A butter. Is that not true? Can it reveal it? No. Because it is not made out of what? Butter. So if I want to know the character of an object, I just need to trace it to what is being used what? To produce. We all know that cassava and some foodstuffs are powerful because of what? The various products they are able to use them for. Is that not so? So, if God created the earth and the earth is in this state, then there's a problem. Why? In the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says that Christ is the firstborn of all creations. And also, by him, through him, and with him were all things created, right? Now, let's examine the nature of Christ. Is the nature of Christ void? The word void used over there means what? Destruction. Is the nature of Christ void? Let's read the book of Isaiah chapter 45 verse 18. The word void also means chaotic. The nature of Christ has never been chaotic. So in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 18, look at this. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, he who did not create it in vain. The word vain over there also stands for the word what? Chaotic or chaos or void. Are you on the same page? So God never created the earth to be what? Void. I just want to tell you how the war started. The impact of the war on earth was captured in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. But how it started, it was not told there. The one who made mention of how the war started was John in Revelation. He brought out that there was war in heaven. Okay? And how the earth received the impact of that war was in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. I'll explain to you why. But I just want to establish why Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 reveal the impact of the war that happened in heaven. Another thing I was saying in Genesis chapter 2, 1 verse 2 was that it was all disorder. God is not a God of disorder. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, the Bible said, for God is not an author of confusion. The nature of Christ does not utter confusion. So there's nothing that can be created with Christ that will be an out of what? Confusion. So it means that whatever happened to this earth is that it was what? Out of form and what? The order it ought is supposed to be. Are we on the same page? Now let's move on. What led to this chaotic nature of earth as a result of the warfare that happened in the earth, in heaven? We are following the story, right? How the war started. Good. The entire spiritual war began because one creature desired to dominate, overthrow, and take control of his creator. That is all. God created many things. The Bible calls them the celestial beings. We are not the only not expressions of God's creation. Some of these beings, the Bible said, some are our dominions. Some are our principalities. You have heard of seraphims and then angels and all this stuff. Now, God created these things for his pleasure. And that one, it is another whole thing. I don't want to go there. But the pleasure of God, that for which he created all these things, one of the principles by which he stood on to do creation was called the principle of choice. That at the end of the day, any creature that he has created, as close as the creature is, the stronger the choice of that creature to do his pleasure, to align to his will. Because he created them as an expression of what? His love. And for him to be loved, you can't force something to love. You see, there's one thing that God has done that no matter what man tries in terms of invention can never reach, is to give it creation a choice. Do you give this phone a choice to turn on or to turn off? Do you give it a choice? No. It is programmed to do so. It doesn't have option. What it can do, can this phone decide that today I want to cook? It cannot, because it doesn't have that choice. It doesn't have the power of what? Choice. So one creature decided that because of that right or choice I had, I decided to choose something today. What did he choose? He chose to overthrow, dominate, and take control from his creator. The conflict did not start on earth. It began in heaven when Lucifer coveted the title that belongs to God alone, which is El Elyon, the Most High. That is our second reading, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 to what? 14. Follow me. I said to you, I'm just going to read it for you. Are you following? Now, how did he do it? He did it with five eyes. And our father-in-law taught about the five judgments of what? Lucifer. They were on all these eyes. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13 to 14, what did he say? Number one, to heaven. The angels. He wants to be the highest among all the angelic force. So it was a progressive what? Rebellion. Number three, I will sit on the mount of the congregation. Number four, I will ascend above the height of the clouds. Now, above the height of the clouds is talking about above what? Heavens. Because the cloud is a representation of what? Heaven. Then the last one, I will be the Most High. Now, these five statements that Lucifer made was the definition of what the war is. Number one, what is it? The war was on the issue of what? Authority, position, and dominion. A creature wanted to throne or wanted a throne higher than the one who created him. And that is to be what? The Most High. So the origin of the war is because somebody wants to be the Most High. Why is the concept Most High an interesting thing in this whole thing? Here is it. Most High means the possessor of heaven and earth, which is the supreme ruler, the one above every rank, the one who cannot be challenged, and the one who sits over all realms, physically and spiritually. So when Lucifer desired that I will be the Most High, is because of this. Now in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 to 20, you see that the interpretation of the Most High over there. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. So anybody who is Most High, that's why I always say that it doesn't matter how high you become, you can never be the Most High. You can never. You can smoke all the forms of smokes. You can never be the Mosai. Because there's only one Mosai. And Lucifer decided to challenge for that place. And that is what the war was about. Now let's move on. Now, when we say somebody's Mosai, what it means that the person is the only one who is sovereign. Number two, he is the only one who dominates all things. And then number three, he is the only one supposed to be worshipped. Or he's the only one who should be worshipped. So Lucifer was demanding worship, was demanding to dominate all things. That's why he was saying, I will, I will, I will. Are you with me? That's why you see in the first commandment that God gave to the people of Israel, what was it said? I am the Lord your God. Worship no other God apart from me. Because that is the only title that he doesn't share with anybody. The rest of the titles of God, it is on human. Human sharing that title. He's the provider. Don't human beings also provide? But there's only one title of God that nobody shares in that title. El Elyon. God Mosai. And that title is what qualifies him to be the only person that needs to be worshipped. Nobody else to be worshipped. And Lucifer, when he saw the glory that comes with the worship, the 24 elders and what they were doing, he desired it. He said, I want to be El Elyon. And because of that, he decided to go to war. So this was what has led to the war that you and I we are suffering from. Somebody had a desire to be El Elyon. Somebody had a desire to be El Elyon. And we became... Now let's move on. Now, what is the position of man in this war? How did we even get involved with the war? Now, if you look at the whole story of the warfare that Apostle John gave us, man came after the war broke out. If you look at the creation story, because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, we are not in the scene. We came in Genesis chapter 1, verse what? 26. Is that not so? Good. So the war took place in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when man was yet to manifest in the creation story of God. Though the rebellion and the coup failed before man came into the scene, it was not over. Now, when Lucifer rebelled and went after God, the rebellion didn't die over there. It was in a form of a seed. Now, let's read the scripture quick. Matthew chapter 13, verse 29. When the Bible said that you thought in your heart, that is how it's sent in the book of Ezekiel. That thought was a seed. And anything that comes in the form of seed, God allows it to grow. Now let's watch. He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? It's the next verse. He said, no, least while you gather up the tares, you also uproot what the wheat was with them. Now, anytime something comes in a seed form, God has not approved it. Why? He gives it time to show that no matter what, it cannot succeed against him. So in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, when I told you to take note, God allowed the rebellion of Lucifer to grow as a seed. And you find out that in the Garden of Eden, when man came, it became a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and what and evil. Are we on the same page? So Revelation chapter, see, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you. Do you understand? Now, the earth is the only viable planet. That's why I want to tell why God allowed Lucifer on earth. One of the reasons, number one, is because in all the creations that God created, it's only the planet earth that he gave life to. That anything that can grow must be on the planet earth. Anywhere you go, all other planets can never give life. Mars cannot, Jupiter cannot. All other planets that God created do not have what it takes to give life. It was Earth. So when Lucifer conceived that idea and it came into his mind and heart, and the seed came out, God must let that seed have expression. And that when it grows to full maturity, he will prove to all creation that nobody can survive rebelling against him. And where is the best place for such things is where life can be given to it. So God allow him to come to earth. Are you following me? Go. Let's move on. Now, when Lucifer came on earth, as revealed by Apostle John. Another thing that made Lucifer to be when he ascended and he lost the war, he came to earth, was because as at that time in the book of Ezekiel, I'm just cutting things short. Ezekiel 28, if you read it very well, find out that the earth was his place of operation. He had a throne. That's why he said, I will exalt my throne. His throne means I had a place that God gave him authority over to what? To govern. And it was earth. That's why I was saying he deceived what? The world. There was a world he had authority over. So when he rebelled, judgment came upon him and his place of what? Abode. That is why the sea was sent. The Bible said the earth then was judged by water. Let me give you that scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. We're not really moving on. It was judged by water. That water there was not talking about Noah's days. It was about when Lucifer was ruling and rebelled. He was casted to earth because his rebellion was with all the world that was with him on the earth. So God placed judgment on all of them and dealt with them. That is why it is believed that the sea has the highest kind of all form of creatures, more dangerous than any other thing. 70% of the earth is covered by the sea, because it is a different world that belongs. And do you know that hell, the gateway to hell in scripture, is the sea. The belly of the sea is in the Bible. I said time, so one day I'll give it to you. The belly of the sea is the gateway to hell. When Jonah said, I went into the belly of what? He was talking. How did he access it? Through the sea. When Jesus casted out the demons back to their place of abode, itself, where did he drive them to? Into the sea. The sea is the physical representation of their gate. That is why you see that towns, cities, nations, or places that are close to the sea, you go and check them. Check that place. That is where you see the highest demonic manifestations. Yes. Those who are close to the sea, if you want to see the strength, go to Cape Coast. Church doesn't grow there. Hey. Yes. Because the sea is the physical representation of the gate. Hallelujah. So, when he was casted onto the earth, number one, not only the seed that he conceived to grow, the other thing is that his territory was also what? Judged. Now, when his territory was judged, he lost his place as the ruler of the earth. God then reorganized the creation and brought in a new ruler of the earth, which is man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Now, this is how man became part. Your grandfather Adam, he did it. When you go to heaven, you ask him. The new ruler was not just given authority and throne to rule. Now, what God is that he gave the earth as an inheritance to the new ruler. So when God dethroned Lucifer, what he did to punish him in addition to is that the place that he gave to him to rule, he gave it as a gift, inheritance to another person. It's his own. Psalms chapter 1, 115 verse 16. We are getting there. Psalms chapter 115 verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, as the Lord's ought, are the Lord's. Are you there? What did he say? But the earth he has given to the children of what? Men. The dominion that God gave us was not just to rule, but the earth is our possession. That is why you see, if man stands up at a place, everything over the earth behaves. That's why man can even tame a lion. Because anything on this earth, around it, whatever, it belongs to you. It's our possession. That's why we can exploit every natural resources. That's why God has given us everything we can eat for free, including, do you know that any you can eat anything, bless it and eat. No, the Bible says so. So if you want to eat a lion's meat, you can eat. There's nothing wrong. You bless it and eat. That because it belongs to you. God gave the earth out as an inheritance to man, as a way to punish Lucifer. Yes. Then your grandfather Adam, he did something. Now Lucifer saw that his rebellion is active but does not have authority. It became a seed and grew and called the tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. But he didn't get authority to what? Continue the rebellion. So although he had the rebellion alive, there was no authority. So what did he do? He was looking for alliance. who can help me to join partnership with me? Because the first world he deceived, they are all judged. They have all been dethroned. They all don't have any authority. They don't have any place. You see, when you read the book of Revelation, as I said, time is gone. Well, he said, and there was no place for him. The place for him, both heaven and earth, there was no place for him. He was practically somebody who was moving to and fro without anything. So although he was a rebel, his rebellion was still working. There was no place to express it. So Lucifer was smart. He used his craftiness. There was a he who deceived. That was his craft. He came back in Genesis chapter 3 to practice it again. When he did it in Genesis chapter 1 to deceive the world in which he was in charge of and led many angels to fall with him, he still applied that and he still uses it till today. So what did he do? In Genesis chapter 3, oh Jesus, verse 4, he came to the woman. Did God say that you go back verse 3. Let's listen to how he framed it. Let's go back. Look at how his deception work. He always used the word of God. I want to show the deception is I use the word of God. If you think that the devil will come and deceive you outside the word of God, you are a liar, Christian. He used the word of God to deceive you. Listen to what he said. Go back. Verse 1. I want to prove something here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed, this is the word of God is quoting. You see the how do you call it? Inverted commas, right? It means that you are quoting somebody. That is a quote sign, right? Oh, those of you who have done English, Elder Matt, is that not the what you use to somebody? So Lucifer was trying to quote God. Has God indeed said, look at it, you shall not eat of every tree of this garden? God never says so. So how does Lucifer deceive? He quotes God and twists it small. You see that thing? So he changed. If it is S, you do it worse. Do you see it? So you can't. Is this what God is saying, or is it not God who spoke? Because the words are similar. It's just sometimes he can even take comma from the place, then he change the sentence. It's the same sentence. That's what the Bible says: be vigilant. Because it doesn't take. What he brings to work on you is is God's words. He will change against you. Then what did he say? Continue. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit of the trees of the garden." Continue. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor you shall not touch it, lest you die. She added her own interpretation. But don't worry, Emadie, that's what they do best. They add value. They add value. When you give them something, they have to add value. That's their nature. They add value. So she didn't do anything wrong. She was just adding value to what God gave. That is their nature. Then listen to what the serpent said. This is the deception. Then he said to the woman, you will not surely die. So the first one is the assurance that you will not die. Why? I've been here before you came. He has worked in that garden. He has been there. Before you came, he knew everything. So he said, no. He always make you feel that, oh, he's on your side. Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, you Satan. For you are what? You care about the affairs of what? Man. If somebody has told you that you die, another person comes to tell that, oh, you will not die, who is on your behalf? So he first of all became friend by giving the, oh, you, let me help you. You don't know what you're talking about. Let me help you. Lucifer's voice. Now our grandfather was deceived. He's a smart guy. You think you have not met Lucifer before? When he speaks, his words are sweet. For God knows, you see, now, because he wants alliance, he has to break the first alliance. So he's now going to create an enmity between you and God. Watch how he create the enmity between God and then Adam. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, what happened? Your eyes will be open. So when God created, he has closed your eyes. So now he's beginning to point out the defect that God has made in your life. Oh, you know God didn't love you. That's why you were born in Ghana. Among all the places, why didn't you become the son of Obama? You see, God doesn't like you. See, I told you, he doesn't like you. He knows very well that you deserve to be in What country do you will you want to live in? Yeah, Gloria. U.S. Is it? Is it? So this is where you come. God knows very well that the day you take you to U.S., you enjoy life. So God is wicked. He has closed your eyes. He doesn't want you to see. He was forming an alliance. So even though he and God had their own war, he needed a partner to join him in the warfare. So first of all, he has to break the alliance between God and man. And you will be like God. The reason why he didn't want you to go to America, because what God is enjoying, he doesn't want you to enjoy something. He's wicked. This is the lies the devil speak. And they started to say, I am poor. Yeah. Hey, it's true. Why did he that is so why, if it's not true, why did he say we shouldn't eat it? Why did you put death on it to put fear in us so that we don't eat and become like him? Do you get it? So you see, most times the devil satisfies your curiosity because he wants you to believe that anything that God said don't do, he's doing so because he doesn't like you. So when he said don't fornicate, God is doing so because he wants to enjoy whatever pleasure is that he's enjoying it alone. You pastor, you are married, you are enjoying, you are telling us we shouldn't do some. So why did you should you close? For using it. Oh, fornication is not good. Stop. Don't mind him. We are God and when the weather is cold, we are the ones suffering. Don't mind him. He's doing this. But he still has not to do it. Don't mind him. That's what the devil does. He thinks God. That's what he made. He painted the picture that God hated them so much that whatever he God is, you become like God. He now didn't want you to come there and become one with him. But in Genesis, there was a, he created you in the likeness and the image of him. So, man accepted this deception and then joined alliance with the devil. Do you know how they do it? They voted him into power and gave their inheritance to him by eating of what is his nature rather than eating that of God's nature, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a tree. Because those days, Adam and the wife were both physically hot, can physically hot, interact and spiritually interact at the same time. That is why you find out in Genesis, Adam and the wife never needed feet. Because they were spiritually hot, alive. That grew to become the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The rebellion, they ate that one. But the Bible said just beside it was the tree of what? Life. When God said you shouldn't eat this one, why didn't you eat that one? Did he forbid you to eat the tree of life? So anytime the devil begin to make, look what deception, anytime the devil begin to give you options, it means that the best option is just close to you. But how it does that will make you feel like whatever God is refusing you to have is because he's being wicked towards you. Many of us, it is that kind of mindset that has made us curious and we have done a lot of stuff. They say we shouldn't do this. Do you get the whole thing? That's how it works. Hallelujah. So the position of man in this warfare was that man ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil to become an alliance, to become partner with Lucifer. And then the inheritance that God gave him, he gave it out to Mount Lucifer. And now they became partners. They built a system called the world. Cosmos. You come there. You come there. They build a system called Cosmos. And the whole idea of Cosmos is what? We want to build a tower that it's what? High to reach God. It's to challenge God. So you see that every action of humanity now, fallen man, is that they want, they are always rebellious. They want to prove to God that they are also what? God. Everything we are doing, we want to make sure that we don't acknowledge him as the sovereign one. Because that's what Lucifer introduced us to. Finally, when this happened, God, so you see, the Bible said that we all became enemies of God. Have you heard of that scripture? Huh? Yes, when we did it, we all became enemies of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Let's read that scripture. So Lucifer was his enemy. You went to join alliance with him. So it means that you have signed up. So now we are fighting on the side of Lucifer. That what Adam did. We were rebellious towards God. And you check, from that day onwards, man started rebelling. The first rebel was Cain. He killed first one to disobey God after Adam and Eve. He killed. I said, am I the keeper? Can you imagine somebody standing face to face and telling God his mind? That was kind of boldness man had. He said, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Yeah, you walk according to that course. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in sons of what? Disobedience. So, you see, the thing is to disobey God. Fight God. That is the alliance. That's how we became part of the world. We became part of it. So, the natural world we are fighting in this world and everything is because we are aligned with somebody who started it. And now we are partakers. So, now you are also an active person in the world. Now, what happens? When you become born again, you see, God didn't create man. I said, time. Oh, God. We'll come there. I'll talk about it. But one of the truths I have to tell you is that God didn't create man to be an eternal being. As at that time, man was spirit but not spirit. The reason we didn't receive eternal condemnation at that instant was because we were spiritual beings, not spirit beings. And it was a way of redemption for us. So God gave us a way out of that rebellious alliance. That is when Christ came to die, to pay for that rebellious act we took through our grandfather Adam. So, because any sin, any person who is a rebel must die. So Jesus came to pay for it, and then now we were saved. What happens is that when we were saved, we were shifted from that kingdom of rebels into the kingdom of God. So what happens? Your position now in that war that Lucifer started is that you have also chosen to be aligned with God to enforce the defeat that God has put on him. That's all. So the war that was fought, that our grandfather went and became part of it, those of us who have decided to align with God through what Christ has done, why we are now having a different dimensions of the war is that we have decided to enforce the defeat that was merited on Lucifer. So the position of the believer is in Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Lucifer's rebellion is in action till now. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 5 verse 9, it said the whole world lies in the embrace of all the wicked one. But our job is this. Behold, I've given you authority. That you what? Trample. The word trample there is what? Enforce defeat. Do what? Enforce the what? The defeat. So the war that we are fighting, we are not there to go to defeat anybody. We are just enforcing what has been done to the person. Are you with me? So our job is to keep the devil at where that God has placed him. What does he mean? Wherever the believer is, through the principles of that welfare, the devil shouldn't have a place over there. Because he was not given a place after he lost the war. So anytime the believer appears at a place, the devil has no place. That's why we cast out demons. Do you know why Jesus cast out demons? Was to show you that wherever the believer is, wherever the kingdom is, the devil has no place over there. Hallelujah. So the origin of this war, the war that broke up in heaven, this is what it is. It's my prayer that you will not live your life as a civilian. We are at war. Our role in this war is to enforce the defeat that Lucifer has been given. Our role in this war is to enforce the defeat. In the book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 10 to 11, he said, and they overcame him. We are to enforce that defeat. I pray for you. May you be prepared. May you stay alert. May you be equipped to be able to stand and enforce this defeat. We are at war that we are already victorious. We are not fighting a war that we are coming from the point of defeat. We are fighting a war that we are already victorious. And therefore the Bible says resist the devil. Oh, and he will flee. I pray for you that anything that you need to be equipped to resist the devil, may you receive it in the name of Jesus. As we journey through this very series, it is my prayer that you will always stand as a soldier prevailing in all forms of warfare. You will win in your financial warfare. You will win in your marital warfare. Any angle that the devil will come, you will win in the name of Jesus. Oh, lift up your voice and thank God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise. We give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Just breathe your name upon me.
gladly stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.